Christy
Marie.
Does that mean that we're girlfriends?
We're much more than girlfriends.
No.
You've never heard us before. We're girlfriends. In a sense that we're mother and daughter.
We're mother and daughter. And also girlfriend.
We're girls and we're friends.
I always remember that years ago, this one guy, you know, because we were saying, hey, with life with the girlfriends. And he was like, are you, quotes, finger quotes, are you girlfriends?
Yeah. And I finger quotes, I don't know what you mean by that. But like, we're girls and we're friends and we're mother and daughter. So.
Yeah. Because all of a sudden I was thinking like, okay, we're his fantasy at some point. And I'm like, no, we're mother and daughter.
Exactly. You know, stop that.
Not bad at it.
Yeah, come on. But you know what? Whatever a man needs to think. You know.
Whatever floats your boat. Brown chicken, brown cow.
Exactly.
Brown chicken, brown cow. So how was your week, girlfriend?
My week has been good. I just want to say one thing real quick.
Sure.
We're your in-house Law of Attraction coaches.
Oh.
We're radio co-hosts, and we also are the best-selling authors of The Clutterfly Effect, Secret of Total Transformation. That's who we are if you've not heard us before. And we kind of like to have a really fun, free-flowing program. And tonight we're going to be talking about a lot of cool stuff. We're going to be talking about Oprah and how she was on, what was it?
My very favorite channel, Bravo.
Yes.
She was on with Andy Cohen, as she said. And so he hawked this for weeks, Oprah Apocalypse.
Yes.
And yes, she was on, and it was pretty awesome. I'll say it. It was pretty awesome. And I think the burning question of the night, someone called in, and, here's a chance to talk to Oprah. And he goes, hi, I'm Louise from Tennessee, and my question is to, and, you know,
yeah.
Not Oprah. My question is for Andy. And everybody looks like, what? You have a chance to talk to Oprah? And she goes, okay, you know, what's your question? She goes, Andy, what does Oprah smell like?
Good question. I'll answer that question. Well, it's funny because she kept going on, I love you, Oprah. I just think you're so great. And after that, my question's for Andy.
What?
That was so funny. So we're going to talk about Oprah, and we're going to talk about reality shows a little bit because it all kind of stems from this one study that just came out, the top 10 careers that college students want to go into. And, like, number 8 is reality star.
Yes.
We're like, what?
You know,
that's even
I'm
occupation?
Sure all, you know, parents all over the country, after paying, 4 years of college, don't feel very happy to think that,
yes.
And what do you want to be when you grow up, you know, little Herbert? Reality star.
Yes. It's like, what? Why did I take the college then? What was that all about? Well, I have to learn how to market it.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we also want to talk about Mama's favorite thing that makes her joyous right now.
Raindrops on roses and biscuits. Those are my favorite things. Not really.
And
the initials are BS.
Yes.
Is that right? Is that what you're trying to talk to me about?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll save that. I'm gonna.
Let's
keep
it.
Gonna
hold up there for everybody. Go. What does Christine Marie like so much, besides BS? So we're gonna talk about those things. We're gonna have some fun time tonight with the girlfriends. So just put your feet up, get your cup of tea, and enjoy this hour. And just it's a nice way of putting like a nightcap on the whole week, right?
Exactly.
On the weekend and starting ourselves off for the new week.
And it's just us. We don't have a guest this week.
No, we've taken a break.
And we've enjoyed it ourselves.
I can't help it. I have. And except that next week we do have a guest, so we're looking forward to that as well.
Absolutely.
And
it's Tom LaVecchio.
Awesome.
Author Tom LaVecchio. So, ladies.
Tom LaVecchio. It sounds like great news.
Right.
I love the name already.
Right.
Let's hold it out there.
And I think we're all going to enjoy this conversation with Tom.
Cool. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for it. Woohoo.
let's give a big woohoo, right?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Woohoo. And because here we're talking about Oprah. Oprah. And Mama was right. She was on Watch What Happens Live on Bravo. And it was Andy's dream come true to have Oprah on his show. And I thought, which was so lovely, because they had a lot of people call in. And it was so interesting, because when Cher was on,
yes,
they didn't have any calls. And I think because people were afraid to call and talk to Cher, like, Well, I'm sure those lines are so filled that no one even tried.
Right.
And then once they got it that, oh, my God, nobody's calling in, I'm going to call in. So I think Oprah's lines are just booked. But someone had asked her, Oprah, what was your aha moment? And I thought it was good. Did you remember what she said?
Oh, of course. You know, do you want me to say?
Sure.
Well, she said after all these decades of, you know, giving people, asking what their aha moments are, and all, she realized that after the OWN network didn't just come out guns blazing, that it was, you know, had some troubles, that she had to follow her own advice, which was, you know, never give up. There's no such thing as failure. You've got to keep reaching and keep trying, keep tilling the soil.
Yes.
Everything is feedback. And, you know, because, and she said, what I thought was amazing is that nobody was shocked more than me that this wasn't, this didn't come out like a total success.
Yes.
I'm like, well, that in itself is confidence.
It is. And so here's the thing that I want to point out to you, because she also mentioned, too, she goes, I'm so grateful that I have this wonderful team that could help me switch gears a little bit and move into a slightly different direction. And it's been, and I thought, oh, interesting. And she told a lot in just that one answer. The one thing was that she holds the vision of her successful channel. And so she knew what she wanted. She expected it. She took it from the non-physical to the physical form. And so she saw it as nothing but successful. And so when it wasn't successful right off the bat, it was like, holy cow, this is not how I envisioned it.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, I remember, you know, going to OWN, OWN, and, you know, seeing what was on there. And I'm like, what? This is cray-cray.
Right.
This is Oprah's network, and you know, this is the, I think she had a lot of that things that I, you know, I wasn't sure of, and I was, like, not tuning in.
Right.
And you're right, though. I thought how important when she said, but I have a, you know, great team.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is so important, because no matter how cool you are, how great you are, you have to have that team.
Yes.
And you really do. Like, I'm lucky that I have you. I'm lucky I have Dad. We have, you know, we've got, you know, good people on our side. And I would, you know, I would love to have even more good people.
Our engineer,
you know,
on BBS Radio.
Our engineer is good people.
He's good people. Even though I get confused who he is because they're twins, and I'm like, which one are you?
Sometimes Julie will come down from upstairs in the middle of the night and wake me up. She'll say, Mom, are you sure Doug's not Don and Don's not Doug and they're not just screwing with us? I'm like, I don't know, Joe.
Hey, does it really matter?
Go back to bed.
Yeah. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm like, no, they're good people. They're good people. They treat us. They make us look good. They make us sound great.
As best as we can.
Yes. That's the main part. So they're part of our team. And it's so funny because when you're being coached, and we're coaches, and sometimes you have to, I know when I'm talking to my coach, you and other people and a few other people, but they have all said, well, where's your team? Where's your team?
Mm-hmm.
You need a team.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, if you don't have a team, you really just want to give them the middle finger, because a team initially requires sometimes more money than you have coming in. And
And also, too, like, I don't know about your generation, but my generation, we were really taught to be self-sufficient. And, you know, you had to, you could make it on your own.
Right.
I can make it anywhere. You know, I mean, just, and it, or you were, if you needed a team, I mean, we really used the word codependent a lot.
Oh,
my God.
For sure.
Bandied about it. If you, you know, needed someone. And now, it's, I mean, the value of a team is so important to have, like you said, a coach, have a mentor, have someone that can see the bigger vision when you can't.
Yes.
And someone who can see the details when you don't want to, you know.
Right.
It's so important. And I think that's, if you look at Oprah, I mean, that's what money can buy, I guess, really.
Well, I think for her, too, the team may be, you know, how you have different creative brains in the mixture and your group. And I think that's important, too. And it's, It's sort of like if you don't know where to go for your team, because your team could be the things you need every day. It could be if you're, you know, it could be your great accountant or the person that looks at your stocks, or if you're in the internet, your web designer, your, you know, JV connector, things like that. If you're an author, you know, you're the person who takes care of your book orders. And it could be part of Amazon or the person that you talk to at Amazon, things like that. And sometimes your team, no matter what you're doing, even if you're bringing most of your income in through a quote-unquote 9-to-5 job, which I don't know those anymore. You know, there are a few. I mean, most people have 3 or 4 jobs that I know of, or their main job and then their cottage industry job, the one they do on the weekends or whatever. And those people could be just your best friend who will say, who's got bigger tatas and bigger, not tatas, what's the word I'm looking for? Rah-rahs. Pom-poms, that's it. Because let me tell you, none of my friends got bigger tatas than me. But bigger pom-poms.
I had no idea you were going for that.
But sometimes
I had no idea.
I have, you know, I have told people, like, saying, okay, I don't want you to give me advice. I need you to be on my team right now and be the bigger pom-pom girl.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, I can do that. I can do that. That's my job right now. I'm like, that's your job. And I think the more mature we get, if that's even the right word I'm looking for, but just when we can take over these roles and say, you know, I need to ask for this. You know, this is what I need you to do. But, and then sometimes you might say, you know, you've done this before. If I'm not thinking clearly, please let me know. Like,
yeah, you don't, honestly, you don't really, like you said, in terms of maturity or whatever, you really, okay, you don't want a yes man. I mean,
right,
look
I don't
at Michael
want
Jackson,
yes, right.
And you can be, you know, or some of these, you can be just surrounded with people that are
right
saying yes to you, even at your own demise, you know.
Yes.
You really do
point.
Want someone that'll come in and just say with some clarity, you know, you need to look at this. You need to look. And then you can, you know, with that kind of feedback, you can evolve. And you can, you know, make some corrections. But, and I think that's what you're hopefully alluding to, is about the power of a good team.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because you said not just your yes man, someone who'll come in and say, hey, you're down going on the wrong path. And this is kind of, I just had this thought too, we're going to talk about your BS later in the show. But I have a friend who called me up and said, I really just need you to support me and kind of help me out here, because I'm struggling. And I've known she's struggling for a while. And she said, you know, this thing, I know this is morally repugnant. And I go, wow. I said, I wouldn't choose to use those words. So I want you to know that you're using those words. And she's having all these physical symptoms. She's got high blood pressure right now. I'm not talking like 40 over 90. I'm talking, she said 170, like 170 over 117. And I said, okay, we need to back off here because the only thing I care about right now is to get you out of this crisis mode, and whatever I need to do to help you feel differently, I want to do. And she's like, okay, great. I said, so let's choose not to say the word morally repugnant anymore. I think, or this, because if you think something, I mean, here's how strong beliefs are. And this is kind of like one of my aha moments, going back to Oprah and the aha moments, because I want to talk about that. When she said that and she told me all her physical symptoms, my first thought was, stop doing what you're doing.
Snap out of it.
If you feel that what you're doing is not in alignment with who you are, well, no wonder your body's going to throw you some physical symptoms. No wonder you're going to feel like you're going crazy, you know? And either change the way you're looking at the situation so that you can be in alignment with it and not feel like you're breaking some sort of moral code, whatever that may be, you know?
I mean, obviously, this, what you're saying is this is her personal belief system.
It's her, yes.
That she's saying what I'm doing, I believe, is morally repugnant.
Yes.
And consequently, she's having all these physical symptoms in her body, which, you know, we believe is because she's acting against her own moral code.
Yes, exactly. Now, I have a story that happened today that kind of goes along this line. I'll just share with everybody. I have given up diet soda probably off and on now for about 3 or 4 months consistently. And I might have one here, one there. And it's one of the things I've been wanting to give up for years because I know it does nothing nutritional for you, mm-hmm. to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it. And I also know, as I've been reading more about acid in your, acid alkaline, the acid versus alkaline, how to make your blood more alkaline. I just figured there's no point in having diet soda. Now, this weekend has been a really crazy weekend. I've had to kind of put on the afterburners, getting a lot of stuff done, doing a lot of physical activity, people coming over to the house unexpected, and then today helping someone move, that was unexpected. and I thought last night...
You just have trouble saying no, girlfriend.
I do. You know what? I know. Thank you for telling me that, because I do so right.
Because I'm not a yes man.
I know. But it's so funny, because last night I got a diet soda for me and my guy. I'm like, okay, let's have a diet soda. We're in the car, and he gets out of the car and literally dumps his diet soda all over the place. And then he throws a little hissy fit because he likes diet soda. And I'm like, I just have mine. I haven't taken a drink out of it yet. I mean, I did, but who cares? And he goes, no, I won't take your diet soda. I'm like, no, please. I have brought my water along. I just wanted to have a diet soda, but it's not really necessary. I'm taking this as a sign. And he goes, okay, I'll take your diet soda. And I'm like, great.
So you said, I'll take this as a sign that I should not be having this.
You're right, exactly. Okay.
Right.
He goes, fine, I'll take it. I'm like, great. So a day where I'm helping him move his store and to the next store over, the shortest move ever. And sure enough, we have two diet sodas with 44 ounces, right? I don't know why. I got that size because, if I'm going to break my, if I'm going to go against my code, I might as well go big or go home. That's what they all say, right? Go big or go home, man. And sure enough, he dumps it again all over the floor and has this, going, la, 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 has a big hissy fit. And then I go, well, that's okay. Just have mine. I don't want it. I've got water. I'm fine. He goes, no, no, no. I'm like, just take mine. And then I will take this as a sign that I should not be getting any more diet soda.
Yes.
Because every time I get one, you need it, and I don't need it, and I'm giving you mine. And so I'm going to think now that this is the universe telling me,
mm-hmm.
or my who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But, truly, I was going against what I truly believe in, which
mm-hmm.
is for me, I don't want to have diet soda right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is not like a moral decision, but it's something I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so, I wanted to share that.
Yeah, well, no, I think that's important. It's thank God that you're reading the sign
right.
like that. I mean, you're probably not going to have another diet soda when the time comes
right.
to be able to say no.
Just yes,
if
exactly.
If you're willing to read that as a universal sign.
Well, yes.
I mean, is it illegal
no.
to have a diet soda? Is it immoral to have a diet soda? But for you, it's just like icky right,
right.
now. You're like, I'm trying to get more alkaline.
Exactly.
I don't want to have all this acid. And I would think that that's a...
I would think that would be total acid.
Yes, I would think so, too.
Because I like the whole reason why I like it is because I like the burn going down my throat. And usually alkalinity or alkaline stuff doesn't burn going down, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and now I'm moving on to the second step, which is sugar, because I know sugar is very, very acidic.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, do I like it! Oh.
Girlfriend.
So I had to share with my coach. I said, I think I'm going to start reprogramming my brain to not like it because I'm ready for the next step.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not like you, Mom. You've got your blood is perfect.
My what?
Your pH balance is perfect.
Oh, my pH. Oh, thank you. Yes, it is.
Yes.
I was shocked.
Well, I know, but you've been working on it for over a year and a half now.
I know.
And
but
like,
I still was shocked. I was like, yay. My pH, my alkaline is really good right now.
Yeah. So I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I'm rah-rahing.
Well, see, I guess, too, I'm really listening to you. And in the fact that you want to retrain your brain, I can kind of wrap my head around it,
mm-hmm.
but there's this part of me that, like, I don't, it's like, remember the old days, like, you would have like a physical shock while watching some, you know, eat a piece of cake or something.
Right.
And like that's how they would retrain you so that
right.
when you're thinking of sugar, you think of pain or something.
Right.
But in general, I would prefer that you just, you know, say, nope, not going to do it right now. You know, it may be tomorrow or, you know, it's sort of like that 12-step program, mm-hmm. you know, just for today. You know, I won't have sugar. You know,
right.
Just for today. You don't have to say, I'm going to give it up forever. And, you know, that usually
right.
starts that whole ball where, okay, I'll eat just for today, and I'll start tomorrow, you know?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I know that as I've been working on getting less acidic and so forth, I know that my taste buds have changed.
Yes.
And I
that
think
does happen.
That I can reprogram my brain a little bit softer
mm-hmm.
so that I'm not so hardcore. And,
yeah.
and I'm not thinking of, like, oh, I love brownies, but I'm going to fill them with maggots. Because if I think of maggots and brownies, that's just gross. It's not extra protein. I know someone might say, hey, maggots are a delicacy, and you should be lucky to have your brownies filled with maggots. But for me and my delicate stomach, I would say no. Or like, or you get one down, it's alive, and you're like, it's crawling around in your gut. And I'm like, oh, man, that's not good. Okay, anyway, for the last 3 times we've been on the radio show, we've been having little breaks during the show. We've had Zen Corner. Then we had weird...
Science spotting. Yes.
Like, what's that about? I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's crazy.
My favorite one was Lover Boys Undertakers. We specialize in, we handle all corpses, including queen mothers and chefs. And in addition, we sell used bed linens.
Yes. All of that just sounds wrong.
So wrong. And so what is your, I know you're going to shock me again tonight. What's corner tonight?
Knock, knock, joke corner.
Knock, knock, joke.
I just, because sometimes you just need a little break.
All right.
And with life,
I'll try not to be underwhelmed.
Okay. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I'm a
who?
I'm a psychiatrist, and I'm here because you won't open up.
I'm a psychiatrist, and I'm here because you won't open up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that one.
You love? Okay. I must be missing it.
You know, because you can't. Come on, open up to me.
I'm
at a door.
That, I did get it, actually.
Okay.
Okay, girlfriend.
Okay, just now the next one will be even funnier, so just hold on. It'll come soon enough, I promise.
For the next knock-knock corner?
Yes, knock-knock corner.
Well, since we're taking a bit of a break, why don't we talk to people about Behind the Clutterfly Effect
yes.
from Christy Marie and Julie.
It's a great book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
#1 in Amazon.
Yes. And, you know, it's a fun book. Mom and I spent, a whole year writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about the book is that
it's yours.
It's ours.
It has your name on it.
Yeah.
you know, like the royalty checks at the end of the month.
This idea that in the last part of the book is all about questions and answers, because so many of our clients have had these questions, and what is, you know, personal is also universal. And we decided to have questions as the last part of the book. It just felt right, because so many times you just want to go, hey, I've had this question, or I
mm-hmm.
have this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a way of resolving it, or kind of seeing it in a different light.
Right.
So I hope that people find the book helpful and an easy read and funny, because we try to make it funny.
Yep. We make it a memoir.
Yes.
A little bit of a memoir about what it was like growing up in the Peters Plan.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the questions are, like you said, they're an amalgam. You know, some are very specific and some are an amalgam of the things that we got. But this week, like last week, if you buy the book, if you send us a copy of the receipt or however they do that, I don't know.
Right.
You will get the audio version.
And you do that to talk to us at ChristyMarieAndJulie.com. Talk to us at ChristyMarieAndJulie.com.
And then we'll send you the audio of the Clutterfly Effect, spoken so beautifully by Christy Marie and Julie. And Julie goes real fast.
And Mom goes real slow. She's like Tina Turner in the beginning.
Yes.
Sometimes you want to go real fast.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to go real slow.
You know, sometimes when you're rolling down the river,
yeah, go real
it can go real fast.
And
then
slow.
You got to go rolling.
Exactly.
Rolling down the river.
Bump, 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 bump. Ah, so girlfriend,
yeah.
I know that this week was a very, very special week for you because you...
I have no idea where you're
you
going with this.
You discovered something new and exciting called DD.
Oh, my God. Okay. Girlfriend, you just throw this stuff on me.
I did.
That's so true. I mean, I thought, what was so darn exciting that happened to me? It's like, but I think it was Wednesday. You know, just found myself kind of like being real lazy and having the TV on. And you know what? I've never seen this show before, Duck Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really wanted to see it.
No.
I've seen, you know, commercials, and it's like, does not turn me on, whatever. So I saw one, you know, it was from last year or whatever. Oh, kind of cute. I didn't know. That's so cute. It happened to be the whole afternoon was Duck Dynasty. And so I found myself watching Duck Dynasty until the brand new season.
You were building up, you know,
yeah,
momentum, weren't you?
At 8 o'clock in the evening, and then it was an hour of the new Duck Dynasty. And by that time, I was just like a fan of Phil and Miss Kay and Willie. And Uncle Cy, and I was like, oh my God, I can see why people like this show. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of cool. I kind of like these people.
Well,
I'm on their side.
Yeah.
And the fact that they made a multi-million-dollar business out of duck and buck calls is fascinating.
And now out of marketing the heck out of licensing their name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go into Walmart and you can buy Duck Dynasty everything.
Yes.
It's crazy. And well, and also, and I want to talk about this a little bit because I am a fan of Bravo, and I think they were the beginners of
sure.
this huge thing of reality shows. Now, you might have thought MTV, because I think in a day with, MTV had their Real World, where they put people together,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, what's the tagline? You know, you start living together until you no longer need to be polite, or something like that. When you start being real,
and,
real
and,
world.
And who would have known, you know, at that point that this, you know, they would be making reality shows out of everything.
Everything.
I got up this morning and I had on, I think it was the Biography, or I really don't remember, but. You know, some sort of highbrow channel, but it had God, Guns, and Automobiles. And it was a reality show, which was, and the one of the sub-characters in this is a big, real disc jockey from Chicago, Mancow
yes.
Muller. And it really is a reality show about his brother, who's an auto dealer.
Right.
But he's in it. But like, I'm like, my God.
He pops
like, why
in.
Can't we have our own reality show?
I do not want a reality show.
No, you want cameras following us around?
They would have to follow us around all year round.
To get 30 minutes.
Yes, that's
so
right.
Boring.
Yeah. Well, we're kind. We're sweet. You know, I don't feel, you know what I'm saying? We're all good. We're like marshmallows.
Oh, girlfriend,
you know?
That's right.
We're like marshmallows in the middle of s'mores.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like hot on the outside and all creamy and gooey inside,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing really dramatic about them, you know.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to win a chef award. They're just good old fashioned campfire.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
don't know, yeah. But it came back to this idea that literally there's so much reality shows out there, and I was reading a study, and I hope it's true. I don't know where it's at right now, but on the radio I heard it, and it was
yeah.
top 10. Careers that college kids want to go into. And they didn't tell a top 10. They just told number 8. And number 8 was reality TV show star.
Mm-hmm.
Reality TV show star.
Mm-hmm.
Couple problems I have with that. One is, I'm sure, Mama, if I would have said after you spent money on my college,
mm-hmm.
what are you going to be, honey? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Mama, I've got to become a reality TV show. Star. What would you have done with me?
I wouldn't probably have known what that was at that point.
Right. Like, is that a career? Yeah. Can you do that?
Yeah.
You know, what starts you off? Did you have a sex tape? What's going on?
Yeah, do you have to go to Hollywood for that?
Yeah, did we have, exactly. Did you have to spend 40 grand on your education? I mean, really, tell me the truth. And so I find it fascinating.
Yes.
Because something else has been happening lately, and I'm just going to share this with our lovelies out there, because there's something bizarre going out in the world. I have a friend whose son is like 18, 19 years old, mm-hmm. and he's a smart kid, but doesn't know really what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, he does know what he wants to do.
Yes, he does. Thank you for saying
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
He really believes that a strong avenue for his life is to be homeless.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's not just being homeless. It's a whole culture.
Right.
And since we've found out about this, that people are in that generation the desire to be homeless in that culture, we've seen probably seven or eight.
Yes.
And not all of them are men. A lot of them are women as well.
And they're that really interesting age of young adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look like they've come back from the war.
No.
They're that 18, 17 to 22. And I was seeing it before I had this conversation, or before I found out about my friend's son. And I mm-hmm. seen it afterwards, and I thought, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. But it's really developing into a cultural where they can make money begging.
Yes.
And probably pretty good. I remember just several weeks ago when Dad and I went down for Lollapalooza, we were parked and there was two homeless guys in that genre. And well, I was parked there probably about 10 minutes and several people, gave them money. Several people.
Right.
So who knows how much they make?
Well, and it's funny to me because to me, you are homeless for a few reasons. One is you just really you've had some bad luck. I know that, I'll be honest with you, my brother was quote-unquote homeless, not homeless. I don't, he was living out of his car for like a month after a divorce.
Was longer than that.
Was it longer than that?
Yeah, I would say it was closer to 3 or 4 months.
Right, after his divorce.
But it was purposeful, though.
It was. It totally was purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to have a break from his from the divorce. He needed to clean everything up. And, he had a job, and he was living at, working out, taking a shower there, living in his car. If it got too cold, he'd come over to your guys' house and
mm-hmm.
so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too far from work. And I really think he needed that break from mm-hmm. having to own anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, who's so organized, I mean, if he brought one thing into his car, he had to take something out.
Right.
Nothing. Right. His car was a
immaculate.
Very, a symbiotic environment.
Yes, it was immaculate.
And so I know that.
And really, where they allowed him this big gym.
Yeah.
24-hour fitness place. So, I mean, if he wasn't at work, he was working out or having,
right.
At the juice bar or taking showers there. And
so I know that there are times in people's lives when it just sounds easier for whatever reason to be
well,
homeless.
Well, you know what, though? And when I think of being homeless, usually I think of, as a psychotherapist, I think of people with addictions.
Yes.
That end up,
yes.
Without any place to stay, or people with mental illnesses,
right.
That there's...
And that's how I think of it, too, that
fear
traditional
of being,
sense.
Right. Shopping cart bag lady under a viaduct,
Right. That's how I think of it, too. And so when I see these other people who are almost choosing it as
a
path.
Yeah, would want it to be
a path. Would want it to be, again, this is a viable option.
Mm-hmm.
It really freaks me out.
Well, especially, too, I've noticed they sort of... now that you notice, they kind of up the ante and they'll have like a really either darling dog or kind of scrawny, pathetic looking dog. And you feel that, oh my God, I need to give them money so they'll feed that dog.
Right.
I know I would do that.
Right.
Because as an animal lover, that just, is totally concerns me. So it's the psychology behind this homeless culture is very interesting to me.
And as an author, we talked about this because I know you love your writing and your mind's always cranking over like new story ideas, because you wrote the book Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Now on Kindle, Cinco de Mayo. Birth of the Zomboys.
Part two is coming.
Yes. And so when we talk about this, I'm like, is there a story here that's kind of compelling and kind of interesting? And you're like, yeah.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, yeah, there is a good story there.
So but
think about it, though, because imagine this culture that, you know, they haven't been to Nam, they haven't been to war. You know, it's not post-traumatic stress disorder. It's not mental illness, at least in terms of DSM-3 or 4.
Right.
But it's a choice. And I mean, that's just wild. That's cray-cray to me.
Yeah, it is cray-cray.
Yeah, but evidently they can make a decent buck doing it.
And I don't know. I mean, I remember hearing this one story on NPR, and they watched this one couple who were beggars or however, and they figured out they were making like $4 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, wow, that doesn't seem that easy.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like a mystique to it. And then
are they on welfare as well?
I don't know.
You know, if this is your only job, okay. You know, if you can do it, but...
Can you count welfare as being a job? I don't know.
No, I meant, like, if you're not on the dole.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I also wonder if, in this world of everything being so transparent and having a story to tell, I'm always wondering if there's somebody writing a blog about it.
Mm-hmm.
My life, my year on the road, like that one gentleman who wrote about living the Bible for a whole year, he had to experience everything word for word in the Bible. And, like, one was to stone adulterers.
You've lost me again.
No, I'm telling you the truth. Hand to God.
From your lips to God's ears.
From my lips to God's ears.
You had to live the Bible?
Yes, exactly.
Are you telling me this?
No, he's actually... he's actually friends with Tim Ferriss, the author of The 4-Hour Workweek.
Yeah.
I heard Tim Ferriss talk about him. Can't think of his name right now.
Mm-hmm.
And interviewed on Joe Rogan's podcast. And somehow I heard this guy talk about it. He goes, you know, it's so hard for me because what I had to do is I just took some pebbles and went to a park and saying, I need to stone somebody who has, you know, cheated on their spouse or something.
Gosh.
And can I just throw pebbles at you or
something?
Oh,
my gosh.
It was crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
It was nuts. And I guess he had a girlfriend or wife at the time, and it was a long year for her.
I guess.
It was a long year.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not
feeling
that
at all.
And
see, there's people out there that want to, like, never tell a lie for a whole year and write about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Do you want to ruin some relationships? Then do that. You know, get off. You know, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure I'm feeling that. And it's interesting because you said that you heard him being interviewed by Tim Ferriss, is that correct?
Joe Rogan was interviewing Tim Ferriss, and Tim Ferriss referenced him.
Oh, okay.
Like my friend who wrote this book, he had to live the Bible for a whole year.
Okay.
And then I heard the actual gentleman, I think someplace on NPR, talking about his experience and having to find that someone who committed adultery, and they threw stones at him. Pebbles.
Yeah.
Like, he stoned them.
Well, it's kind of funny because... See, now, Tim Ferriss is somebody that I would like to have on Life with a Girlfriend.
Right, okay.
Because, and Tim, of course, if you're out there, talk to us at ChristineMarieAngeli.com. You can come on. We'd love to talk to you because I want to talk to you about that 4-hour work week, Tim. I want to talk to you about that. Come here, I want to slap you.
Well, I think
Can you imagine the people that have... you know, the families that have given up what they've done, you know, gone to a different country so they can, you know, live for a couple of years on their savings. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that book really started a revolution. But I think, I don't know, there's just something twisted within
it
for me.
Well, when you realize how I came up with the name of the book, The 4-Hour Workweek, I mean, he now owns that. There's The 4-Hour Body, The 4-Hour Chef. I mean, he's all about mastering your mind, mastering your life.
In 4 hours.
Yeah, in 4 hours. You know, he talks about how he did a Google ad search. Like, he picked like 5 or 6 different names for his book. One was the vagabond businessman or the vagabond entrepreneur. Mm. And he loved that vagabond word. Mm-hmm. I do too. Mm-hmm. But the one that got the most clicks was a 4-hour work week, mm-hmm. like hands down. And so I can see why that'd be appealing, because people are like, I got a job now. I can probably pull out 4 hours out of my life a week to have another business until it takes over. And I was talking to Doug about this book, and he's like, how does that happen? I'm like, you could have a 4-hour work week. I go, I could? I go, yeah, you could hire everybody right now to do your job, and then you can live on about $1,000 a month. I go, can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I lived in my mom's basement, I go, okay, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could right now have, you know, really have a 4-hour work week. You know, do you want that?
Well, it, you know, his book is more than that. I mean, it really is about literally changing your lifestyle, seeing everything very differently.
Right.
And I'm not against that.
No.
I love paradigm shifts. I think that's impressive. In fact, one of the things that I took away from the book that I used in the Clutterfly Effect was this 80-20 principle by Richard Koch.
We're not sure how I pronounce it, so we're going Koch.
I don't know, because, you know, Dick's a good friend of mine, and I, you know, I didn't know how to say his name. But
whatever. You're so funny tonight. Okay.
But, you know, so, and I love that 80-20 principle, and that does work, and it is... it is life changing and game changing when you see that, you know, can you define the 80-20 rule for people real easily, Julie?
Real easily. Here's how I define it if it's not working in your life. Basically, 20% of what you do in your life gives you 80% of your results.
Right.
And a lot of times we're spending so much time and effort on the 80% that gives us just a 20% of the results.
Right, and we're trying to buffer that up when we should be, it's just the opposite.
Spending more time on the things that really give us the benefits, the rate of return on our time,
right,
and less on the stuff that doesn't. And by doing that switch, in which it has helped me as well, things open up, the change of paradigm switches and happens and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, honestly, after reading the book, and there's a lot of good stuff, and I think like on page 100 and something, he talks about, now there will be times when you're working around the clock and brewing the midnight oil and all that stuff. And like,
you're talking about Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, Tim Ferriss' book, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are times when you're doing something for the love of it, and you don't really know the rate of return, or you don't know what's going to happen at the end. You just are doing it because you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to be taken into consideration as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything we do in our life will turn out to be a gem, but it might lead to something else.
Right. So you're right. There really is something about, I don't know if we call it grace or what, that for the sheer pleasure that you get from doing something, and you feel that you're in the zone, or you feel that what you're doing is what your purpose is and what you're meant to do. And at that point, I you do have to sort of give it to God.
Right.
You really do, because you have to get out of the way of that to see what comes back and how it comes back to you.
Well, it's interesting we're talking about this, because I think one of my aha moments, like Oprah talked about her aha moment that happened recently, we have a lot of aha moments through our life. And I remember that I had a retail health food store, and, you know, really focusing on law of attraction at the time, just a newbie at it, and thinking, and it was doing crappy. I mean, you know, nothing juicy was happening. I could barely take it. Was just.
But, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I'm going to say that, but in retrospect, I can see a lot of the reasons why
of course.
We couldn't see then.
But, you know, so looking back, my aha moment was, okay, you need to let this go. Couple reasons. One was I was trying to law of attraction it, like, you know, see it perfect, see it like expanding, see it doing really well. Imagine all these customers and clients coming through your door. And I remember hearing, I had two aha moments at the one time. One is, okay, are you spending 80% of your time on something that is bringing you 20% of your, you know, results?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God, this is taking up more than 80% of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And this other thing that is bringing an income, I should be focusing on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ah, hello.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing was, I was listening to Abraham Hicks, who is the queen channeler of law of attraction information, right?
Mm-hmm.
Esther. And Esther Hicks is her name, and she channels, Abraham.
Yeah.
Yes, and talking about law of attraction. And she said, yes, with law of attraction, you can make anything happen. However, it may require so much energy from you that you might be better suited if you just moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was
that
your,
opened it up.
That was your
uh-huh.
escape clause. Yeah,
yeah,
that was
that. My escape clause.
Yeah.
That's a perfect thing to say for that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need permission to say,
it's just too much.
Move on.
Yeah.
Not give up on the dream.
Mm-mm.
But
or the essence.
Or the essence of what you want,
mm-hmm.
but move on from this vehicle of it.
And I think that's so smart. And then you heard this. We were talking years and years ago when this happened. But knowing what we know now about just the acid and alkaline in a body,
yeah. Yeah.
and what negative thoughts and negative
situations,
feelings,
and, yeah, yeah.
That turn the body. You don't really know that if is it the chicken or the egg? Is it the, you know, what creates that acid?
Right.
But when you think of how much harm that does to a person, Tony Robbins says something like acid is like, is it like
glue?
Glue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, nobody wants glue.
Yeah.
In their, you know,
in their bloodstream,
right?
You know. No,
exactly.
We want things flowing.
And so when you think about that, and just have somebody say, it's possible, it can
yeah.
happen, but it may take you so much,
yeah,
that added energy, that it may just not be worth it to you. And you're like, yes,
yes,
yeah.
And then I was able to let it go and kind of put that into my joy journal. So I want to say one thing real quick, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Knock, knock, knock.
Oh,
knock,
no.
knock corner.
No.
Yes, yes. I'm getting these from bestknockknockjokes.com, and there's hyphens everywhere. So.
Hey, hyphens?
Like best-knock-knock-jokes.com.
Give it to me.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who there?
Juno.
Juno? Juno who?
Do you know that I'm out here, right? Do you know I'm out here? Knock on your door. Let me in. Do you know that I'm out here?
Oh, yay,
yay. Okay, here's one more. Because I think they're hysterical. Okay, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Says.
What was that?
Says.
Says.
Yes.
Who?
Okay, let's do it again.
Okay.
If your timing's off.
I know. Well, because I don't know. I'm not. Okay.
Okay,
knock, knock. Who's there? Says. Says who?
Says me. That's who.
Oh, just. Okay.
It's not as funny as the first one. I thought was so funny.
Yeah.
I'm a who? I'm a psychiatrist. I'm here because you won't open up.
When I only know one knock knock joke. And
yes.
I learned it when I was in high school, and it was, okay, knock knock.
Who's there?
Sam and Janet.
Sam and Janet who?
Sam and Janet evening. You may see a stranger.
Oh, awesome.
That was mine.
Okay, I love it. I just want to tell everybody to come join us this week. Thursday we have our Amp It Up, where we connect with that field of pure potentiality. It's a great time. We just had one of our lovelies email us, and she said, Julie, I have been coming to our virtual world, you know, join
yes.
us online, to your Amp It Up for 2 years now, and one of the things I put into that field of pure potentiality is a trip to Italy. And it's coming true. My trip is booked. We're going with some friends. It's going to be awesome.
He said not only is she going with some friends, it's an all-girlfriends trip.
Yes, I
now
love
that
it.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. So join us on that. It's just 22 minutes long on Thursday at noon CT time. You can find out more information on our website, The Clutterfly Effect. I think you just go to The Clutterfly Effect Weekend or Festival. Click on there. Because then also this Saturday we're having a Clearing the Clutter Weekend, I think, too.
Again, yeah.
Yes.
We have it once a month.
We have it once a month.
Yes.
And you get so much done. It's awesome. Life is good on Clearing the Clutter.
Mm-hmm.
So visit us at the ClutterflyEffect.com website. You'll find all the information out there.
Join us for Amp It Up.
Or our blog at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Yeah.
And you can get our book at Amazon.com, too, The Clutterfly Effect.
You think we got enough Clutterfly Effect?
I think so.
And no, because we got a membership site coming in September.
Yay!
I hate to tell you about this, Julie, but it's going to be cool.
And
it's all about success. It's about life being a bed of roses.
Yeah.
It's about winning.
Winning. Success.
Winning. It's about being a champion.
Yes. It's about having fun, too, because we are all about having
it's
fun.
It's about getting clutterflied. Where are you going to be in a year?
I know where I'm heading.
That's right.
I know where I'm heading. And it feels awesome. Feels awesome. Awesomely awesome. So we're looking at the last 8 minutes of our show.
Yeah. Now,
and I want to bring this up, the final thing that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's BS.
Okay.
Things that she's going to put, that I have put into her joy journal.
Yes. Girls, this is my joy journal tonight. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Mr. Blake Shelton.
Yes. Blake Shelton.
He's a man of my dreams.
Now, I don't know if it's Sheldon or Shelton. I think it's Shelton.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No.
But I put him down in my joy journal because he gives me joy.
It gives you joy.
Great pleasure to look at that man.
And so I'm like, yeah, I'm tired of talking about him. I know he's wonderful. I know he sings so great. He's a tall drink of water. He's on The Voice. I'm like, nah.
Can't a girl just dream?
Yes, she can.
But a cool thing is I know that he's married. But, you know, so am I.
Yeah. So you just have this, you know it's just a lusty kind of thing. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. But he's married to Miranda Lambert, and she's got a song out that I absolutely, as much as I don't want to like her,
mm-hmm.
that I love.
Yes.
And you'll have to tell me the name of it.
Mama's Broken Heart.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I love that song.
I know.
And, I couldn't tell you the words, but the sort of the energy behind this song is that this younger, sort of maybe Julie's age, has a broken heart.
Yes.
And she just, I don't know, she's drinking, she's hurting her liver.
Yeah, she's cutting her bangs with rusty kitchen scissors.
Yeah, she can't get it together. And finally, her mama comes to her.
Yeah, it's getting all over town, too, that she just, this breakup, she's going crazy from this breakup. The word's getting out all over town.
She's kind of going cray-cray.
Yes.
And Mama hears that, and that's not.
And
it's
gonna fly.
Happen.
She hears it from the people at the bar and the people at the church. I loved it. That Mama's crazy too. and this whole idea that it's like, listen, girl, mm-hmm. I know you're going crazy, but it's only a breakup. It's only this. Let's get the makeup on.
She tells her, put some makeup on, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Put some good clothes on.
Yeah.
Wipe those and go out and keep your legs together.
Yes.
You know, we're not looking for a rebound relationship, but you want to look good. Doesn't matter how you feel right now.
No, that'll come later.
Pull it together. You know, there's all kinds of crazy. You're
right.
Pull it together, and then you're gonna look good, and we're gonna fake it till we make it. And I'm like, I really love that song.
I
cannot tell you how many times in my life that I felt cray-cray, too. But you know what? Took a shower, did my hair, put my party makeup on.
put your New Year's Eve makeup on.
And went out and purse shopped or something, you know?
Sometimes, and here, we've all had this experience before, not just with a breakup, but when your heart has been broken for some reason.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I just want to let it all hang out.
Some kind of betrayal.
Yeah. Or some kind of grief, and I'm not talking big grief, I'm talking littler grief, you know, and you just want to scream to the universe, I'm done,
mm-hmm.
and I want to wear my pajamas, not just mm-hmm. to Walmart after 10 p.m., which mm-hmm. I think in the real world is acceptable.
It's legit. You can
legit
do that.
Legit, after 10, pajama bottom
and
top
and
Walmart.
And house slippers.
Yes, after 10 p.m.
Lisa Dixon.
Before 10 p.m., not acceptable. After mm-hmm. 10 p.m., acceptable. So, you know, you just can't do it. Gotta, because you, first of all, you you need to say to yourself, I don't want my boyfriend from the fifth grade to see me looking like this. That ain't going to fly.
Yes, I don't want anybody that knows me to know that I'm suffering like this at this point, you know.
Because, Mom, I know that once in a while I will let my suffering show.
Mm-hmm. And me too.
And I know that you have a story about that because you're like, I was letting my suffering show.
I do. Oh, okay. Julie, you're just popping these things. Where are you pulling this stuff out of tonight?
I'm setting them up. No, I'm hoping you're going to knock them down. Well, should I tell the story?
Oh, yeah. It's just a quick story.
Because
yeah.
We don't have much time.
No,
we're going to end up like this. No, you were just... We had just gotten the book written, and you were kind of like talking to a couple people in the publishing world,
mm-hmm.
and you were really having this great conversation with this one gentleman, which you
mm-hmm.
usually do. You can really, I don't know, wheel him in, girlfriend. That's not me. That's not who I am. But you can, and you had this good connection, and then you wrote him an email saying it was a great conversation, yada, yada, yada. And instead of saying, yeah, I look forward to working with you. I think we can help each other.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of let your guard down a little bit.
A little bit.
And you said, I really need someone to help me and save me.
No. That, no. What I said was...
What'd you say?
I said in this whole body, this email, it certainly would be lovely, because I'm, you know, doing a little law of attraction, if I could find
a
guy in a white hat.
Yes.
And on a white horse.
Yes.
Not a knight in shiny armor. No.
Okay.
But there was, see, that little statement there showed a bit of weakness.
A bit of weakness.
Yeah.
And no one wants to connect with you on the way down. Or out of desperation.
Yeah.
They want to connect with you like, you know, this person's got something. I want to get her to the next level.
Yeah,
get
but I think that guy missed a great, great opportunity.
Yeah, because you found somebody else, and that somebody else took real good care of you.
But in retrospect, I could see that little tiny bit of wavering.
That little tiny bit of crazy
came
through.
Or desperation.
Desperation. I think desperation and crazy kind of look
the
same.
But as a therapist, I'm used to being able to, you know, acknowledge feelings and not have, you know, somebody be judged on that kind of a feeling, you know.
It's so weird up in the world right now because there's two areas of thought. One is, I'm allowed to feel what I want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thought is, you have total control over the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to feel like that, great,
mm-hmm.
but no one wants to be around that. Change the way you feel,
mm-hmm.
change the way you think,
mm-hmm.
yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And I'm like this, I get to feel what I want to feel, but I'm not going to, I don't need to bring anybody else down.
Yeah, well, also, too, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine. And
exactly.
So obviously, some people are the oink, oink,
oink,
oink, oink, are the swine.
So, yeah. But I love that song, and I know that there have been times in my life when I've been a little cray-cray,
mm-hmm.
and you said, Julie, it's enough.
Enough.
It's enough of this. And then you're like, yeah.
I'll say, give yourself another 36 hours.
And then you're done.
And then
yeah,
you're
and then I'm like, okay, that sounds good. I'll do that. Yeah, you don't want to cut off right then and there.
No. What's that, you know, the Native Americans, if you...
Tell your sorrows three times to the elders.
Yeah, you
can and then the fourth time you move on. It gets it out of your system because you just simply need to be heard. You need to encourage yourself. And then you have to move on. And when you get that crazy realm, it's out of time.
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
awesome, everyone.
That was
have a great show, everyone. Great weekend. Bye-bye, everyone.